Now, I want to ask both of you, Dave and Connie, if and when in the future we build this operable means to travel through time, who should we trust to manage it? I mean, there are some governance issues here, right? I mean, would it be scientists? Would it be governments? Would it be, as in your fiction, historians? Who should govern this?
My answer is no one. No one is trustworthy enough to handle anything. So. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that the inventor is probably going to be some sort of megalomaniac scientist. So, you know, it's not going to be under the control of any government.
So Rupert Murdoch crossed with Stephen Hawking.
Very likely.
Okay, gotcha.
And the first thing that you always do with a new technology is figure out a really good way to commit a crime with it. Yeah. So I'm sure they'll be committing great crimes of the past.
Well, I've always thought you could just go back and collect, you know, antiques and buy Monets for $50 and things like that.
I'm
right?
sure that will be the plan.
Yeah, that's my plan.
That's the plan. That's why you're not in charge.
Not yet.
That's true.
Connie, if you could go anywhere in time, where would that be?
Well, you know, I always have said I'd love to go to the Blitz because that's my first love. And then I've realized that's an absolutely idiotic thing to say. People are dropping bombs on your head on a daily basis. But when I tried to think of some place I would rather go, I couldn't think of any place. So probably the London Blitz.
Really?
Yeah. Only I will have the advantage of knowing when and where the bombs fall, so I won't hopefully get killed.
Is there a crush on Edward R. Murrow or something?
I do have a crush on Edward R. Murrow,
okay,
as a matter of fact.
There you go.
And on Churchill, and just the times were terrific. People were, ordinary people had to go spend the night in a tube shelter, sleeping on the platform, people stepping on your heads as they boarded the train, and getting gum stuck in your hair, and then get up in the morning not knowing whether their house still existed, their family still existed, or maybe the Germans were rolling down the streets of London. And they did that for 9 straight months. And they did it with humor and pluck and all those great things, which is why I wanted to write the book about him.
And Dave, if as a time traveler, hypothetically, are you more of a future guy or a past guy?
Oh, yeah. I want to see whether it's aliens that destroy us in the future, or robots, or just mutants. Oh. I assume one of those.
It's the Mayans. The Mayans did it.
Oh. In 3 years? Or?
In 3 years.
Oh, really? Okay,
I
good.
Saw that yeah. movie, but gotcha. John Cusack survives. It's okay.
Oh. So the mutants, then.
Yeah. And does the sequel do well in the future? I can't... Well, speaking of movies, in 1960, they made the very first film version of H.G. Wells' novel Time Machine. And the machine in that movie looks like a sort of Victorian sleigh with a sort of flashing light control module on the front. Then in 2002, Steven Spielberg produced a remake, and this time the director was none other than Simon Wells, who is the great-grandson of H.G. Wells.
One of the aspects of Time Machine I'm actually quite proud of is actually the design of the machine. You know, I've drawn pictures of time machines since I was a little kid, and I'd always been very bothered from the George Powell version of the time machine, kind of where was what was inside the time machine and what was outside the time machine. So we wanted to create something that was literally a bubble in time. And then there's also reference in the book to the fact that the time traveler was a professor of optics. Now, this is quite important because the speed of light and the absolute nature of the speed of light, which then led on to Einstein's theories of relativity and so on, were very much the current of, you know, the really important scientific thinking of the time. So I think Wells had actually put that element in because he felt that light was connected with the whole time travel thing. So that's why there are these huge Fresnel lenses spinning and part of the machine. Time travel, if you like, it's the get-rich-quick sort of version of exploration, isn't it? You can go very fast to very different places.
That was Simon Wells, the great-grandson of H.G. Wells, talking to the Studio 360 correspondent. It makes me wonder if my great-grandchildren will refer to me as Anderson. Dave Goldberg, what would an actual time travel vehicle look like, do you think?
Well, it would look a lot like a spaceship. Remember that the practical models that people have designed, and I'm using practical in the absolute loosest sense of the word here, typically involve manipulating huge amounts of matter and energy. And then, by and large, you need to be able to fly around them, and in many cases, fly around them at close to the speed of light. So they're going to look a lot like a spaceship. You're going to have to go a lot faster than, you know, 88 miles an hour.
Well, the mileage referred to as the good science fiction geek that you are in Back to the Future, which the DeLorean in that movie traveled in order to go back in time.
My calculations are correct. When this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're going to see some serious
So 88 miles an hour wouldn't really work. I think we can all agree on that. But Back to the Future does deal centrally in its plot with a real problem of time travel for people who think about it, which is this grandfather paradox. Explain, please.
The basic picture is you go back in time, and for reasons that probably shed an unflattering light on the psyche of physicists or science philosophers, you go back, and for reasons that are unspecified, you kill your grandfather before your father was born. Well, great, then you weren't born. So who killed your grandfather? That's the central paradox. And this can be resolved in an ugly way and a nice way.
And the ugly way is...
The ugly way is you introduce something like parallel universes. So you go back, you kill your grandfather, who I assume you refer to as Anderson.
Yes.
But it turns out it's not your grandfather. It's the grandfather. It's a person in another universe.
Which branches off.
The thing is, though, the reason I call that the ugly way is that while physicists like to talk about parallel universes, there's no real connection between traveling in space and traveling in time and traveling to parallel universes. It's just not part of how we understand the universe to work. The nice way is that you just can't do it. What stops you? This is where I get to say, yeah, I'm a physicist, so I'll talk to you about this later and I'll let a philosopher deal with this. Perhaps you choose not to, perhaps something gets in your way, but as far as we can tell, there should just be a single history, which means that there is something preventing you from killing the person that you thought was your grandfather or is
Well,
your grandfather.
And Connie, in your time travel fiction, you sort of set up as a special Connie Willis rule
right.
that you really can't do much when you go in the past.
Right. My historians, if they attempt to go back and shoot Hitler, say, they find themselves, they're going to go to 1938 Munich, and they find that when they intend to do that, they will be in 1956 Munich or they will be in 1938 Montana, and they will not be able to get anywhere near Hitler to kill him, because that would affect the main time stream. That's in my first couple of books, but I sort of call that into question in my new book. So
really? But yeah. That was your story, and you still sort of are sticking to
I'm
it.
I'm sticking to it, kind of. Kind
of. So now you can change the future?
My characters are really worried that they may have accidentally changed the future.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, which gives them a lot of angst, because Hitler winning World War II is not a pretty picture.
Yeah. But would that also cover my buying the Monet for $50 and bringing it back? Would that be changing?
Yes, absolutely. In my universe, you can't do that. You'll just be stopped. You'll never get into the museum will be closed.
You're a killjoy kind of
I am
notice.
A killjoy. But it was the only way I could think of to get my characters back in time and allowed to visit history, because I don't like, for literary reasons, I don't like the parallel universe thing. I want to operate in real history, because I think it's more interesting. So,
Connie Willis, Dave Goldberg, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Dave Goldberg is an astrophysicist at Drexel University, and his next book is called A User's Guide to the Universe. Connie Willis is a science fiction writer. Her novel Blackout comes out in February. I'm Kurt Anderson, and we are live in the Jerome L. Green Performance Space in New York City.